Welcome into the PFN Bengals podcast. I am Dallas Robinson. He is Jay Morrison. Jay, our last pre-draft show in 2024. How's it going? It's finally draft week. We're here.
It's we're getting so close to it being over. That's the exciting. A lot of people get excited for the start of the draft. I get excited for when it's over and you can breathe and sit back and look at everything that happened and analyze what actually happened instead of analyzing what might happen.
All the speculation has just become too much for you, Jay. It's all the mock drafts. You're ready to be done with it. I get it. I'm ready for like Saturday night to go in our lads and just scroll through all the depth charts and see who's where and like how these rosters actually look. Yeah. I am ready for it. I'm finally ready for it. But before we get to that, we do have one more big preview that's going to happen tonight. If you're listening to this or watching this on Wednesday, me and Ian Cummings, our top draft analyst here at PFN, are going to do a big live draft preview tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on YouTube. We're going to go over the kind of biggest questions in round one, where all your favorite prospects could land. We'll hone in on the Bengals at 18. So any questions you have, come in and join us, join the discussion. We'll be going over everything that's going to happen, mostly round one, but we'll go through kind of all the rounds and get Ian's thoughts. The recall from Ian Cummings is just absolutely amazing. You saw it if you heard him on our show a couple weeks ago. So please do tune in for that tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern.
I'm going to try to tune in and I'll ask a question in YouTube, but in case I can't, if I get busy watching Survivor or something like that, ask Ian, because I know he's not in the same boat with me. He loves this stuff. He's not ready for it to be over, but that doesn't mean he won't celebrate when it's over. I wonder what he does when the draft is over and all his work is behind him. And does he take a week off? I am curious how he celebrates the end of the draft.
Yeah. Is it just like 24 hours straight of sleep? Like what exactly is he doing? He did tell me he's kind of mock draft out. So I think he's kind of ready for it to be over. He did put in a 7-rounder with analysis. So
yes,
I'm sure he's got like carpal tunnel or something from writing that out. So please tune in tonight if you're watching that. Today, what Jay and I are going to do is do a little bit of a game. We love doing games here on the PFN Bengals podcast. We want to look and see who are the options for the Bengals at each of their first six picks. This will take us through round five through pick 149. The way we're going to do it is Jay, of course, has set up a little game for us. Jay, if you want to go ahead and maybe explain what we're going to do here. We'll also, if you're watching on YouTube, we're going to share our screen here and show you so you can kind of follow along as we play this game here. But Jay, if you want to just like set us up on what we're going to do.
Yeah. So Dallas and I are going to have a draft of the draft pick. So, I will pick the person I think the Bengals are most likely to pick at 18, and then Dallas will pick two guys, the next two best options that he feels, and then I'll pick two. So we're each going to pick five guys at each spot, at 18, at 49, at 80, at 97. We'll go all the way through, like you said, to the fifth round. So it'll kind of give you an idea of who we think that they are going to target in those rounds, and we're going to score it. If we get it exactly right, and I would think one of us is going to get this first round pick right. We'll see what happens after that. It can be a bit of a crapshoot. But it's 10 points if you get the pick exactly right. You get 3 points if you pick the correct position for that pick. And, say I pick an offensive tackle that is not the correct tackle, my second choice is a tackle and my third choice is a tackle. I get 3 points for each one of those if they do draft a tackle. And then at the end with our picks, then we've got six Bengals related draft questions that we are going to pick an answer to. And there's some interesting ones on there and we'll grade those out at 5 points each for whichever one of us is right or closest to the number on those.
So we'll see. We love to get competitive here on the PFN Bengals show. So let's go ahead and do this. Jay, if you want to pull up your screen, we'll go ahead and put this on the screen with us and you can kind of follow along at home. We've got this color coded here so you can see who Jay and I are picking, and we'll go through each one of our picks and see who we'd like at each one of these spots. And it's going to be, I think we'll have some overlap here, and there are some spots where I've even put, the same player at different picks because I think that they could be a consideration at maybe 80 and 97. So there could be some overlap, but let's see what we've got here. So at pick 18.
Yeah, let's take it's like our coworkers off the list here. I had to put a couple dummy names in. I don't want to say dummy. I'll say this is a couple trial names that I put in there. Let's take those out.
Some of our bosses, so we don't really want to dummy might not do the right word.
And so when you guys are following along, mine will be in orange and Dallas's will be in black, so you can kind of get an idea of, and I left the other pick. We're only doing the first six picks here. So we'll just
six picks.
Take these guys off.
All right. We've, like you said, I hope we get this pick right. If we pick 10 players here and don't pick the guy the Bengals pick at 18, that's not going to look great for us. Jay, I'll give you the honors. Who do you think, who's your number one choice here for the Bengals at 18?
Yeah, he was my pick in my very first mock draft. I'm going to have my final 7-round mock draft tomorrow. It'll post, and I'm going to go back to him. It's going to be J.C. Latham, the tackle from Alabama. Bengals really lean into these guys from the bigger schools that play in big games. He's a right tackle. He has been a right tackle. He doesn't have to flip sides. He can play guard. He's not 6'8", but he's close. He's a very, very large 6'6". I just, multiple levels, I think he makes the most sense for them. Not sure if he's going to be there, but if he is there, I think he's the pick.
Yeah, he would have been my pick too. He's going to be my pick in my mock draft that's coming out tomorrow. I'm not sure if he'll be there either. I mean, I think there's a chance he's the second offensive tackle off the board after Joe Alt. I mean, I think it's a very realistic possibility that he could go to the Jets at 10, maybe the Chargers if they trade out. Maybe he could go there. So he would have been my pick too. I'll stick at offensive tackle as well. I'll go Amarius Mims. I think that we've talked about the idea of J.C. Latham being a double and Amarius Mims a home run. I think that's a kind of a question the Bengals are going to have to consider as well. Mims, I think the idea of calling him raw is probably wrong. I think he's inexperienced for sure. I mean, he's had injuries. Mm-hmm. He hasn't started as much. He's played, I think, 800 snaps total in college when a guy like Joe Wald has played like 2,200. So there is a difference in experience there. But, you know, anyone that knows offensive line, anyone that you read says this guy has all the traits, the size. Even when he's been out there playing against SEC competition, limited action, he looks ready. He wouldn't have to play immediately if he goes to the Bengals. He could sit and learn and study under Frank Pollock and some of these Bengals veterans. So I'll put him at number as my second choice. Even if you stole Latham from me, I'll be happy with him.
And now you get to do two. So
yeah, so I'll stick with another offensive tackle. I'll stick with Talese Fuaga. I don't necessarily think he'll be there either. But I think if he does fall, I think the Bengals would probably be all over that. And I'll just I'll grab another offensive tackle pick here because I do think OT is the most likeliest pick at 18.
Yeah, he was one of the ones I was going to pick too. And the same thing, I don't think he will be there. I don't know if any of the other tackles would be the best play here if all those guys are gone. So I'm going to go Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas. I'd like to load up with tackles here because I really do think it's going to be a tackle pick, and that would bring me more points. But some of the tackles that I've got on my list are further down and probably less likely. So I'm going to go with Murphy, and then I'll go back to tackle and go with the Washington guy.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so, the guard versatility there. He could end up playing guard in the league. We'll see how that plays out. But he's an interesting prospect, and I think he is a guy that they would consider there at 18 if Latham is off the board. They may even take him over Mims. I don't know.
Yeah, you really, it's such a crapshoot. Like we really don't know. And I think my next pick is kind of along those same lines too. And I'm going to go with the defensive tackle. I'm going to go with Johnny Newton. I think that the injury, the foot injury, could push him down. Maybe the Bengals wouldn't be interested if he hasn't been able to do this testing. But I think the traits, the production, I think Johnny Newton is what the Bengals are looking for on the interior. I think that an offensive tackle is going to be the priority if it's there. I'll go with an offensive tackle for my next pick. I don't think this guy will be there, but the NFL draft is just so random. You never really know. Yeah. I'm going to go with Olufoshano. Okay. I don't think he'll fall to 18, but if he does, I think the Bengals will be all over it, and I'll just take the offensive tackle pick again.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if we should have put a thing in there where you don't get the position points if the guy was already drafted, but we're not going to change the rules in the middle now. I don't, you already made your pick. I'm not going to do that, but I wonder if that would have been a smarter way to go. Next year, we'll do it that way. I'm going to go with a couple skill position guys here. I'm going to go Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver from LSU. And I will go Terrion Arnold. I think there's a chance they could go cornerback here, especially if all the tackles, if Murphy goes in the top 10, like people were saying. Daniel Jeremiah had a tweet today where if all the phone calls he's been getting today are correct, a bunch of people are trading up to get tackles. We'll see if that plays out or not. But I think those are the two positions they would pivot to if they're not happy with the choices in the trenches.
I totally agree. Those would have been my next two picks. I'll throw in one more offensive tackle here that I think could be on the board. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. I think he's another developmental pick who I don't think the Bengals would want to start right away, but that's why you signed Trent Brown. So I think Tyler Guyton, potentially a long-term left tackle. He's got the traits, but has been a right tackle at Oklahoma. I think that if all these other options are gone, I think Tyler Guyton could be a guy they consider at 18, even if I wouldn't necessarily be all that pleased with that pick. Okay, that's round one. Please, God, let the pick be one of those 10 choices, because I think I honestly don't know who it would be if it's not one of those 10 guys.
Yeah.
I just feel like it has to be one of those 10 guys. Let's go to 49, Jay. And this is where it really opens up, because we don't know how the Bengals are going to go in round one, and how they go at 18 and what position they select there in the first round is going to have obvious effects for what they do down the draft. So I don't know how you kind of frame these picks, but you kind of had to get a mix of all the same positions that we think the Bengals are going to target, because we just don't know how the order is going to go in round one.
Yeah, I've got a list of 10 possible picks here, and I've got one offensive tackle in the list, because I'm so sure they're going to go offensive tackle in the first round. We're not going to see a Fisher double dip like back in 2015. So I've got one on here just in case they don't go offensive tackle, but I'm not trying to cover my bases. I'm trying to get the picks right, and I went first on 18, so you get to go first here on 49.
Okay, I will stick with the pick that I'm picking for the Bengals in my mock draft coming out tomorrow. It's Clemson defensive tackle Ruka Rohoro. I think he's got that three technique ability. He's younger than some of the other defensive tackle options that we could talk about that I do have later on my list here. I think he's got the traits that you want as a three technique rusher. I don't think that he would necessarily even have to play a ton his rookie year, like maybe as a rotational option. But I think we're counting on BJ Hill and Sheldon Rankins to take a lot of the snaps. Maybe Rohoro could be the third defensive tackle and kind of get integrated into that rotation. But I think it's like an upside play and somebody who could contribute a little bit in year one. I like him at the pick at 49.
You know, a nugget from the open locker room on Monday was talking to Miles Murphy about, you know, what it was like going through the process a year ago, and now seeing so many teammates going through it, and how they've all been reaching out to him, asking for advice. And we ask him about mock drafts and if he looks to see if he's likely to get any. And he's like, I don't pay attention to that. But he's like, Roop does. Roop called me up and says, hey, looks like I might be coming to join you in Cincinnati. So that would be interesting to see them go and get another Clemson defensive lineman. I'm going to go.
So Rook is terminally online like the rest of us, then.
Yes,
it sounds like.
Yes,
right?
Okay. Does. That's good. When he's not good working note. Out, I'm sure.
Of course. Yeah.
I've had this guy since the beginning. I'm going Jalen Polk from Washington, wide receiver. And I'm going to double dip there. I'm going to go Roman Wilson, the wide receiver from Michigan. I think this is the spot where we see them go after a receiver, not necessarily T Higgins replacement. Maybe that's what it ends up being, but a guy with versatility that can come in and really help them move Jamar Chase around and kind of be a bridge for what this offense is going to look like once T Higgins leaves after this year.
I really want to give the Bengals a round two receiver. It's just in my mock, I think all the guys that I think were interesting for the Bengals, I just had coming off the board too early at the first stretch of round two, where I think they might have to wait till day three, depending on how the board goes out. But I will take a chance on a wide receiver here too. It's going to be Oregon's Troy Franklin. Good speed threat on the outside. Not maybe the bigger body that the Bengals want, but I think as a long-term replacement for T. Higgins could make some sense. And then I will go back to defensive tackle and go with a Michigan player at Chris Jenkins for my second pick. Production metrics, really, really like Chris Jenkins, especially when you adjust for his age. He's got the NFL bloodlines with his dad as a long-term NFL player. I don't know if he has quite the upside as maybe some of the other guys that you could get in the interior a little bit earlier, but I do think it's just like kind of a pretty safe pick, a guy you could count on to give you pretty good production. I'll take Chris Jenkins as my second choice.
All right. I'm going to go defensive tackle here and go Mason Smith from LSU. Again, trenches, a big focus of this team. He came in for a top 30 visit. They like their LSU guys. A lot of fits there to like for him to come here at 49. Let me get him typed in here, and then I'm going to give you a curveball.
Oh boy.
My next pick is going to be a trade. I think they trade back at 49, add a third or a fourth round pick. I kind of expose myself there, because if they don't trade, I get no points at all because I don't have a position listed there. But they've done it a lot. It's their wheelhouse. They love trading back in the second round. And as you mentioned, some of the guys that they might want to target that aren't there at this round, it would be the perfect spot to move back and get even more picks. They already have 10. These guys aren't all going to make the roster, but I can see some wheeling and dealing going on later in the draft too, where they package some picks to move up at a spot or two.
It sounds like this draft is just pretty shallow. Like once you get after pick 100.
Yeah.
So like, I do wonder, does that mean a team like the Bengals that already has 10 picks, do they want to trade back and or package some of those picks and get more top 100? Maybe even like, I think I saw a report that the Patriots have like 80 draftable players on their board. Like it's a shallow board in some teams' eyes. So if the Bengals are in that kind of same camp, I think it would make sense like to get as many picks in that round 3 through 4 range as you can, and just say, guys, who after round 5, like, who cares, we'll just stick in these top 100, top 120 kind of guys and see what we get. I think that makes sense. Okay, I'm gonna go with two more defensive tackles here, because I do think this is a good range for defensive tackles. I'll go with Michael Hall Jr. and I'll go with Braden Fisk. I don't know if either of these guys will be here. I think I have Fisk available in my mock, and I have Michael Hall going a little earlier. Michael Hall is just so young and has shown so many flashes when he's gotten the chance that I wonder if teams are going to be like, let's get this guy in our team and just cross our fingers he can develop. So I will put both of those guys, Fisk and Hall, as my next two choices.
Okay. This draft, I think I've been asked this question a lot, and I think this draft is more about the future than it is the present. Yes, these guys they draft in the first few rounds are going to contribute this year, but they really need to hit on these picks to set them up once Jamar gets his big deal and Joe's already got his and all these other big contracts. And this guy is the slot corner of the future. And it's Mike Sanders still from Michigan. I could see him coming in, not quite a redshirt year. You get on the field a little bit, but he will be a Mike Hilton replacement in 2025. And again, Michigan has a ton of players in this draft, and the Bengals have really kind of leaned into that program in recent years. Another reason, just a lot of fits there to like.
He's got to be the number one player we've discussed during this pre-draft on this show. Like, no question. I didn't even have him on my list just because I don't think he'll be available to the Bengals. Like I truly think he will go in the first half of round 2. And okay. I don't think he'll be there when he pops up. He's getting steamed up so much. Like every day, I feel like I see a new report that, oh, Mike Sanders could be a first round pick. I'm like, I don't know.
That's probably his agent steaming him up.
It probably is. It probably is. Okay. We've made all our picks in round 2, correct?
Yes.
A couple offensive tackles that I didn't get to. I did want to throw in maybe a Patrick Paul from Houston, maybe a Roger Rosengarten, just in case the Bengals don't get their first round tackle, but I think you and I both think they will.
Yeah, I have Rosengarten and I have Cooper Beebe, the interior lineman too. Mm-hmm, but
sure,
I didn't have Franklin, I didn't have Jenkins, so I was able to get most of my top picks.
All right, let's go third round.
Yeah,
80. I pick 80. Jay, you're up first here. This is where it's like it could be anything. It really could be anything at this point, depending on how the first two rounds go.
Yeah, and that's what's. I've got a receiver as my top pick here, but I just went two receivers last round. I'm not sure. I think I'm going to pivot here. I'm not going to stick true to my board. I'm going to go Kamari Lassiter, the cornerback from Georgia. If they go, I think corner is in the works for somewhere in these first three or four picks. And if they don't get one in the first or second round, this could be the spot where they get it. And really, it's kind of a double, even though Sanders still was last round. I'll go with my last pick of the last round and my first pick of this round with corners.
I gotta say I'm out on Lassiter. I think he ran a 4.65 at his pro day. I'm just like, I'm not into that for cornerbacks. I think he's like, the film is good from people that know how to scout cornerback play. I see a cornerback run 4.65, I'm just like, I'm kind of out on that. It's not for me. That's just a that's a personal preference on my part. All right. I want to throw in a couple wide receivers here, too. The first one I'm going to do is Washington's Jalen McMillan.
Yeah.
You had Jalen Polk earlier. I think McMillan could also be there. I actually had him as a sneaky second round pick in my mock, so I don't know if he'll be available this late. But if he is, I think he could be in consideration. The person I did pick for the Bengals in round three in my mock, North Carolina's Devontae Walker. Mm-hmm. He was kind of the last, I don't even know what tier this is, tier three maybe, wide receiver that was left before I felt like there was a pretty big drop off when I was working through my mock. So he's the guy I sent, and I will take him here. So I'll go McMillan and Walker.
All right. Let me get these guys typed in here. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to go trade as an option here. I think at one point they're going to do it. They're going to trade back, maybe up. Maybe they trade back in the second and they trade up in the third round. But I'm going to stick that one in as my option here. And I've got a decision to make. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pull the trigger. I know it's early, but I'm going to go to Vondre Sweat. I don't know how far he's going to fall with the DWI. I don't know how far he's going to fall on the Bengals board. You know, Daniel Jeremiah said he might go all the way to the fourth round. Yeah. It only takes one team to pull the trigger. The Bengals have the need. They have a culture in place that can maybe help bring a guy like that with a red flag along. So, I'm going to take him here and see. Well, I mean, they need a defensive tackle. If they get Mason Smith here, it would obviously change my pick. No, it wouldn't either, because they need the three tech and the run stopper. So, I feel like that's a good option here.
It is. I'll admit I have him a little later on my board, and I do think he could be an option. I think it's going to take a team who just who is like all in on this season, who's like, we don't care, we're getting Sweat. He's potentially a day one talent. Like and the Bengals could be in that. They very well could be in that camp. I think I give him to the Falcons in my mock, who I think are pretty much all in on this season with Kirk Cousins. If the Bengals feel like they're in that kind of camp too, I feel like they could be an option. It's my pick, right? I'm going to throw a couple cornerbacks in because I do think cornerback is going to be an option here in the middle rounds. I'm going to throw in Florida State's Renardo Green and Kentucky's Andrew Phillips. Both a little bit smaller, but guys who are really athletic and who can deflect the ball. I think Renardo Green had more forced incompletions than any other cornerback in this class last year. I think these are the kind of guys who can play press, who can play man, who can do a little bit of everything for Lou Anarumo. I think if the Bengals go corner, I think it very well could be one of these day three picks. So I'll throw those two guys in.
Okay. Well, let's see. Do I want to do it? What the heck? I'll go Theo Johnson, the tight end. Mm-hmm. I think they may wait longer to get a tight end. But yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Theo Johnson, tight end from Penn State. And I got one pick left. I'll go. All right, I'll go back to the guy at the top of my board in this round, and I'll go with the Yak King, and I'll go with Malachi Corley, the wide receiver from Western Kentucky. It's a crapshoot, but like I said, they're gonna take a receiver in one of these first three rounds, it feels like. So I might as well have some in each round.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. And I think I'll get my tight end here, too. I'll go with Ben Sinnott. I think there's a decent chance he ends up being the tight end, too, in this class after Brock Bowers. Like, I think he could go as early as round two. I don't know if the Bengals will go this early on a tight end either. I think that very well could wait until day three, but I would like to get one on the board, so I'll go with Sinnott here.
It's a good pick.
All right. 97, their second third round pick. I think that both those receivers, McMillan and Walker, that I chose in for 80 could be here too. But I do want to throw in one other name at wide receiver. That's going to be Jermaine Burton from Alabama. I think he's talent wise could be a day two pick, like could be a round two pick, maybe a back end round one pick. But there's just some off field stuff there that I think that will have teams concerned at 97 with the Bengals needing definitely an immediate and a long-term answer opposite Jamar Chase. I think maybe it's a shot where you take a chance at a guy like Jermaine Burton, despite the off-field question. So I'll go with him as my first pick.
All right. I had him in this round as well. All right, I'll go back to Vondre Sweat here. If they don't get him in the pick the round before, or it's the same round, but if they don't get with the third pick, they'll get him with the fourth pick. And then I'll go Mason McCormick, the interior lineman. This really feels like third, fourth round is where they're fifth, maybe, where they're going to start boosting that interior of the offensive line and getting some depth there and some eventual starters. So those will be my two picks here.
Okay, I'm going to throw in Theo Johnson here. I know you already took him in our last pick, but I do think he's a good option. There's so many studies.
Wait, are we allowed to do that? Are we allowed to pick?
Are we? I don't know. It's your game. You tell me.
I was assuming that once somebody was taken, but if we're if we're allowed to take the same guy twice for ourselves, then yeah, I would.
You tell me. I have so many players here I could go through.
You can't take a player already taken in the same pick, but you can take it in a different pick. Let's say that.
Okay. That's kind of what I was assuming. Yeah. All right. I'll go with Theo Johnson then. I just think there's so many studies that show the most important metric. If you're trying to look at one metric to see if a tight end is going to be productive in the NFL, it seems easy, but oftentimes it's just 40-yard dash time. And Theo Johnson is very fast. He is very athletic. I think it's a crime that he didn't produce more at Penn State. I don't think that was his fault necessarily. I'd like to add him here. And then, oh man, I think he's been one of my favorite players. I'm not sure he's a perfect fit for the Bengals scheme, but I think he's a long-term option in the middle. I'm going to go with Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin, center. Very athletic. Again, like Theo Johnson, very athletic. I don't think he's obviously not going to have to play center in year one. Ted Karras is here, but kind of get that developmental year. Maybe he's an option going into year two. I think this Bengals offensive line could use some athleticism up front, and Tanner Bordellini is going to be that guy for me.
I'll go ahead and tip my hand because I have the first pick in the next round. He was my number one choice for 115. Okay. And so now that we're allowed to both pick the same guy, I'll tip that. That's what's coming next round. For this one, I'll stick with the interior of the O-line and go Christian Mahogany. And then I will go with another receiver. I had Burton as my top receiver in this round, but I'll slide down to Jerry Rice's son and go Brendan Rice here. Really intrigued by what his upside could be given the pedigree. He doesn't have the physical tools that his dad, nobody has the physical tools that his dad has, but I think it's really intriguing. You know, you're getting a quality guy that's going to work his butt off, and I think he could be a fun piece in this offense.
I'm going to stake in the trenches for my last two picks here. I'm going to go a little bit off the board. I mean, I've seen this guy ranked all over the place from different draft rankings. I'm going to go with Texas offensive tackle Christian Jones. I think if the Bengals wait, if they somehow, I think it's pretty unlikely they won't have taken an offensive tackle by this point, but God forbid they don't get one. I think Christian Jones here at the back end of round three could be an option. On the defensive side, if they have not come away with a defensive tackle, I'm going to go with Duke's Dwayne Carter, defensive tackle. Ian Cummings from PFN has him ranked right around this area. I think it's kind of an interior disruptive force. I think he could be interesting there, so I'll put Dwayne Carter as my last pick.
Hold on. I messed up the sheet. I make semicolon instead of a colon. There we go. I had Dwayne Carter there too. I'll throw a dart at Austin Booker, the edge from Kansas. I don't think we talk about edge enough. I could see them making that not a priority. We're talking their fourth pick here, but I do think it's in play, especially if they already get the defensive tackle out of the way. So I'll throw him on the board here. And then I already said that I am taking Tanner Bordellini as my first pick at 115. So we are back to you.
All right, I'm going to go with one of your repeats. Then this is where I'm going to put Tavondre Sweat. I think, at 115, I don't think the opportunity cost is that great. You take the chance. If it's a home run, great. If you strike out, doesn't matter. No harm, no foul. So I'll go with him. I'll throw in one tight end here just to kind of get a fourth round tight end of the board. I'll go with Cade Stover from Ohio State. I think this could be the range where the Bengals get one. I think he's right there in the rankings from Ian. So I'll go local and put Cade Stover.
I'm learning my lesson here. I shouldn't have tipped my hand because I was going to go Sweat again. I was going to go Sweat again in this round. I should have done that first instead of Bordellini because I don't know if you would have gone Bordellini again in this round. So, yeah, lesson learned. I also had Christian Jones in this round. So I'll go here. I'm going to go Hunter Norzad, the center from Penn State. And now I've got a question.
He was definitely on my list. On my list a little later down. Yeah.
I'll do it. I mean, it's, you had him last round. I'll take it this round. I'll go with Christian Jones.
Okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Let's see. I'm going to go with another defensive tackle here. I'm going to go with Mekhi Wingo from LSU. If the Bengals want to find kind of a mid-round option here. I think Jermaine Burton could still be an option. I did have Bortolini listed here, but I'm going to go with one more. This guy could actually play tackle or guard. I'm going to go with TCU's Brandon Coleman. I think there's kind of a split on him too. Some people think he could stick at tackle. Some think he'll have to move inside. I think that kind of versatility could be intriguing to the Bengals either way. I believe Brandon Coleman was on Brandon Thorne's top 10 of like my guys list. Who Brandon Thorne's a probably the best offensive line analyst out there. If Brandon Thorne is vouching for Brandon Coleman, then I will too. I'm going to go with Brandon Coleman as one of my picks here.
Okay. I'm going to stick with the interior of the offensive line and go with the guy with the longest name in the draft. It's Cedric Van Pan Granger. Center Granger, from Georgia. Yeah. That's a mouthful. And then I'll stick on the interior of the O-line, and I'm going to go Isaiah Adams, the guard from Illinois.
All right. There are so many choices I could go with here, but I don't think the Bengals need to pick a running back this early, but I wouldn't rule it out. So I'm going to throw in one running back just in case. I'm going to go with Notre Dame's Audric Estime. Low 40 time, but a guy who is a very powerful runner. I think play speed looks faster than his time speed. Could be an option at the goal line. Just a bigger body, I think, that could be kind of a contrast to what they've got with Zach Moss and Chase Brown.
Who are you picking again? I'm sorry, I was.
Oh, Audric Estime from Notre Dame.
Okay. Back.
All right. Final pick here, number 149. I actually did have Norzad as my pick here, but I'm starting to think he could go earlier. There aren't a ton of pure centers in this draft. I'm going to throw one more running back here to get it started off. I'm going to go with Tyrone Tracy from Purdue.
Okay.
Former receiver. I think. Is still kind of learning the running back position, but that's interesting for the Bengals because I think that means he's got further upside that maybe he hasn't tapped into that he could. He's not going to have to be used immediately, obviously. Could he be as a receiver in certain situations? Yes, but as a guy who's still kind of learning the running back position behind two options in Brown and Moss, I think he's a pretty interesting pick here in the fifth round.
Okay. Yeah, I like a running back here too as a possibility, and I've had this. I know we did it on our mock. We talked about him. I've had him in my mocks before. Isaac Garrido from Louisville. Yep. would make a lot of sense here. It might be a little early for him here, but he's got that return ability too.
He was my next name.
Was he really? Okay.
He would have been my pick. Yeah.
All right. I'm glad I did it then. and then I'll go back to the trenches, and I'm going to go Fabian Lovett, the defensive tackle from Florida State. You know, obviously Fisk is the better prospect there. But again, this is a spot where we've seen the Bengals excel by taking guys mid-round trench guys, not offensive line, defensive line, and making them work. So I like that as a potential upside pick.
Absolutely. Definitely is a nose tackle option, I think, and love it. Makes a lot of sense. All right. You stole Garrido from me. So I'm going to go with TCU's tight end, Jared Wiley. I don't know if he'll be here at this point, but I think if the Bengals have not gotten a tight end by this point, he's 6'7". This is a guy who can play in line. He can be a true three down tight end, maybe not as dynamic as some of the other options that'll go ahead, but as a guy who can play all three downs, I do like Jared Wiley. I'll stick with another defensive tackle who I think could play the nose, but maybe isn't necessarily that exact body type. Jordan Jefferson from LSU. I'll go with him. I think he could just be another rotational option. I don't know if he's, I think he did play some nose at LSU. I don't know if he'll actually be the perfect kind of one technique in the NFL, but I do think there's an option he could fit in there long-term.
Okay. I'm going to stick with the interior of the offensive line. I really do think this is where they go after him. And I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Satoa Lomine? The guard from Utah.
Is it Lumia, maybe?
Lumia.
I think it's
If they draft him, I will learn how to say it.
I'm not actually sure. Yeah, if they draft him, yeah, we can learn it. Yeah, that's a tough one. I know. I've seen him all over the board too. I've seen him as like this late. I've seen him later. I've seen him like in round three. So he's a guy that seems like he could go almost anywhere.
And then I'll back up the Booker pick with another edge. I'll go Xavier Thomas from Clemson.
Okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense. All right. Do I have one pick here? I have two picks. I've got two picks. I'll go with Arizona wide receiver Jacob Cowing. I think he could be a slot replacement for Tyler Boyd pretty much immediately. Separation specialist, knows how to get open. Maybe not the most hyper-athletic guy, but he can absolutely create space for himself and knows how to work within that space. So I'll go with him. I'm between two guys that are kind of a couple of my favorite mid-round picks here. I'll go with one more interior offensive lineman. I don't think I've picked one here in this round. I'll go with Zach Zinter from Michigan. Guard. I just think he could be a solid option. Again, not probably an immediate option, but maybe into year two. If he's here, who knows? I think he's a guy that could go as early as round three, but could also fall to this round five range. Lots of other guys I think could go in this range, lots of other positions, but I'll go with Zinter for this one.
Yeah, I actually had Zinter on my list at 80. So that would be a great get if they got him here. So this is Mr. Irrelevant for our game. It's kind of a theme developing here. I'm picking a lot of Clemson guys. I'm gonna stick with it. And maybe linebacker they go after earlier than what we think. They still could use some depth there. They could use a guy of the future. I know they've signed Pratt and Wilson long term, but it's a position that is constantly evolving. And I'm going to go Jeremiah Trotter, the linebacker from Clemson, to wrap up this. We'll see how many of these guys we get right. We should. I feel pretty good that there's going to be multiple picks hit right on the head with, 10 guys at each spot. We should hit a couple.
I would hope. I hope so. I don't know. Like, what is there a penalty if we don't? I mean, we should institute that. I don't know. I would think that we should. Yeah. No, I think these are at least like directionally correct, right? I mean, even if we don't hit the nail on the head, it's like I think we're getting in the range of the prospects they'll be considering at these various points on the board. So I think it's like it's a valuable exercise, regardless, even if we don't hit them exactly. It's like what positions, what prospect ranges will they be at least thinking about at each draft slot?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's wrap this up with some questions, Jay. We've got a few just big picture questions about the draft in general and how it relates to the Bengals that we want to go over. We'll score these two. How do we say we're going to score these? Whoever gets closest gets
whoever's closest.
Five points. Okay.
Yeah, and then on one of them, it's not about getting closest. So you got to hit it on the nose.
Okay. The first question we're going to do is how many offensive linemen go in the first round? Now we all know if you followed this draft process at all, that this is a, I would say, historically deep, at least at the top, offensive line class, to the point where like I think that there's going to be so many teams that feel like they cannot emerge from round one without taking one of these offensive tackles, like they're going to miss out. So our question is, how many first round offensive linemen are going to go? Jay, I'll let you go first on this one. I think there are some guys who are obviously going to go in round one, and then there are a couple that could sneak in, and this number could range like anywhere. What are you thinking for this one?
Yeah, so I went offensive line because if you get a guy as like a Barton, what is he, or a Fontenot?
Yeah.
So let's just take that part, the subjective part, out of it. Offensive lineman only. I think we're going to see 25%. I think we're going to see 8 go in the first round.
I don't know if we're doing Price is Right rules here, but I'm going to go with 9. Okay. That's what I had in my mock draft. So I've got Joe Alt, Talese Fuaga, Olu Fashanu, Troy Fontenot. I think those guys will all go before the Bengals. JC Latham, Marius Mims, Barton. I think those guys are all kind of guaranteed. So that's 7. I've got Jordan Morgan also sneaking into round one. I've got Patrick Paul also sneaking into round one. I put him to 32 to the Chiefs. There's just been a lot of buzz that he could sneak into round one and that he's been told that he will be drafted in round one. Like, you never could take those pre-draft like declarations all that seriously. But I just think that teams are going to be worried that if they don't grab the guy they want in round one, that they will miss out. So that's the 9. I still think there could be like Jackson Powers Johnson. I did not include because he's an interior option. He's got some medical problems going on. Wouldn't surprise me if he sneaks into round one. Even a guy like Kingsley Sumatia, I think, could potentially get in there. I mean, that if all those guys get in, that's 11. I don't think we're getting that high, but yeah, eight or nine, I think, is kind of the range where we're going to see here in round one. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, six quarterbacks and nine offensive linemen. You're talking about half the draft right there. Half of the first draft.
How many? Yeah, exactly. And we'll get to receivers here in a second. The whole first round could be offensive tackles, receivers, and quarterbacks. Essentially, that's what it feels like.
Yep.
All right. Our next.
We are not, here. By the way, sorry to interrupt, but we are not doing prices right rules. It's closest.
Yeah, yeah. So. We're not.
I thought you were going to say one lineman, but no.
All right. Tight ends taken before the Bengals draft one, Jay. I mean, I went through our lads and just looked at all the depth charts for tight end. I think there's like 12 teams that could use a decent upgrade at tight end, like an immediate upgrade. That's like a third of the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got teams like the Giants who don't even know if Darren Waller is going to retire yet. Like one day before the draft, he still has not told them if he's going to keep playing. So like there are so many teams that could use some sort of tight end. I'm going to go with six tight ends get taken before the Bengals. I think Bowers, Bensonat, Jatavion Sanders, Theo Johnson, I think all those guys will probably go before the Bengals do. And then I think you'll probably see a couple wild cards thrown in there too. So maybe maybe the Bengals get like a Tanner McLaughlin on day three. We talked about Cade Stover, maybe Tip Ryman from Illinois, Eric All from your alma mater, Fairfield, Jay. Yes. Like, there are guys late, and the Bengals have just shown us that they don't value this position, that I think there will be quite a few tight ends go before the Bengals actually get in the mix.
Yeah, I got even more going. I could do the Price is Right thing and just go with seven and outbid you by one, but I'm going to stick with my original pick. And I had 12. I don't know how soon they're going to go after him. And if it's like last year where it just doesn't go their way, I could see them sitting it out a little, even a round or two longer than we expect. So it's funny because you said 12 teams because you use a tight end, and that's the exact number I had. So I'm going to stick with that there. And the next one, we're doing the same exact question, but with wide receivers. How many wide receivers will be off the board before the Bengals take one? I'm gonna flip it. I'm going to go with your tight end pick here. I'm going to go with six wide receivers before the Bengals take one.
All right, I'm going to flip it on you then. I'll go a little higher. I'm going to go with 10. I think I do think a round two wide receiver makes a lot of sense for the Bengals. Even in that case, I just think these guys are going to fly off the board. I think Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, obviously. I think Brian Thomas will get chosen in round one. I think Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy will go before the Bengals are comfortable taking a wide receiver. Then you just got this big group of Leggett, Coleman, McConkey, Franklin, Pearsall, Polk, McMillan, Wilson. Well, it's like all those guys I think are in maybe not the exact same range, but the same general range. So I just tried to average it out. I go with 10. I think we're both kind of thinking the same thing, that the Bengals will address it in round two, or at least hope to address it in round two. It's just a matter of how many of these guys come off the board. You know, it's if that offensive tackle run happens in round one, I really do think that the first half of round two is going to be a lot of wide receivers coming off the board and might hurt the Bengals. I think it could negatively affect the Bengals, or at least hinder the options that they think they might have going in.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think 10 is probably the more likely number. I was trying to hedge a little bit where just in case they take one in the first round, I wanted to be on that low end. But you're right. I think it could be more in the 10 to 12 range before they actually get theirs.
All right. Two couple more questions here. And this one was very interesting, Jay. I love this question that you posed. What school are the Bengals going to draft teammates from one school? Now, this is not even something I'd really thought about, but you look at it. There are so many different combinations of players at positions the Bengals definitely need who go to the same school. So I think it's very, very likely, maybe not likely, but there's a good chance the Bengals could draft a couple teammates. Like, I'm very curious what you had for this. I want to hear your answer.
Well, so the reason this came about, I had a story. It just went up. I think it went up late last night. I tweeted it out this morning where in 5 of the last 7 drafts, they've taken college teammates. And in 15 of the last 25 drafts, they've done it. Only one team in the NFL has done it more often than them, and that was the Patriots. And anytime you're in the same conversation with the Patriots, anything related to the draft, that's a good spot to be. It's just, you know, I talked to Mike Potts, the director of college scouting, about it. I was like, you know, is it coincidence or is there something to this? And he said it's a little bit of both. I thought it was really interesting that he said, and teams don't divulge this a lot, but he said when they meet with these prospects, they always ask them, who's one teammate or one teammate on offense, one teammate on defense that you would bring with you to the NFL if you could? And it kind of gives them an insight into to who these guys think are the best players or the best teammates. And it doesn't mean that they're going to draft that guy just because someone says he would like to bring him along. But anytime you're in a situation where you've got guys ranked similarly and you get into a tiebreaker situation, they lean into it. They like the idea of bringing guys that have played together. It doesn't necessarily mean they were at the same position. That's kind of rare. You have to go back to 2001, the last time the Bengals drafted two guys from the same school at the same position, and that was Chad and TJ from Oregon State. Mm-hmm. So my pick here, I had two schools that I wanted to go with, and one is one that they've leaned into quite a bit recently, and they've got so many draft eligible guys, it just made sense from a standpoint of playing the numbers. That would be Michigan. But I'm going to go the other way, because we've picked McMillan, we've picked Polk, we've picked Roger Rosengarten, Fatanu's in the mix there. I'm going to go Washington. I think they end up with two Washington Huskies out of this draft. Or could. I won't say they will, but they could.
Yeah, could. Yeah, they were definitely on my list. Like Fatanu, Rosengarten, those guys could absolutely be here. I have a lot of I'll be honest, I have not even made my pick yet. I'm debating as we speak. There's so many different combinations. Like, man, it's really tough.
Texas, I think both defensive tackles. Murphy and Sweat.
I mean, Texas is on the list for sure. Yeah. I mean, Christian Jones, if he gets picked, like maybe they take a shot on Jatavion Sanders if he falls. Yeah. I don't think Murphy's going to be there in round one. I think Alabama is an option because I do think Latham could be there, and then maybe they come back and get Jermaine Burton later. But oh boy, I think I'm going to go. I do like Michigan too. Michigan is maybe the one. I'm going to go a little bit off the board here. I'm going to go TCU. I know this is a weird pick, but I think that there are so many late round guys. I think they could be interested in Jared Wiley. I think they could be interested in. I think they could be interested in Josh Newton, cornerback. I think Brandon Coleman on day two or three. I think there are enough options here that they could be interested in at positions they need. I probably regret not picking Michigan or a bigger school here, but I just wonder if those guys will be available at the positions at the time when the Bengals are on the board. Whereas I think some of these TCU guys, I wouldn't be surprised if they pick a couple off on day three. I don't know. I might come to regret that, but I'm going to go a little off the board with TCU there.
Yeah, I like it. It's a gutsy pick.
Final question. Who is going to be, or what position will the last player the Bengals pick in this draft, what position is he going to play? I mean, I think there are some positions, Jay, that we really haven't covered at all during this whole pre-draft process because the Bengals are just kind of stacked at those positions. For me, at this spot, I went linebacker. I think it's a spot. You talked about it earlier that the Bengals could use some depth, but they do have two starters in Pratt and Wilson. They re-signed ADG. They re-signed Jabaki. I do think this is a position where you could just grab a seventh round pick and say, hey, we're going to develop you. You're going to be a special teamer. Maybe down the line you become something else, but you're going to be a special teamer. You're going to play on these new kickoff rules. You're going to try and earn a spot on this team. I think there are some other spots that the Bengals could consider late, but I'll go with linebacker and just say Darren Simmons gets another body for a special teams unit.
Yeah, that's a really good pick. The whole reason I put this question in there, I wanted to see if you'd go punter.
That's what I thought. But, I thought you did.
I'm going to go. I love the idea that, and they did it. They just did it last year, which is why I'm not going to do it. I love the idea of cornerbacks in this spot, but I think this is a spot where maybe they take a flyer on an edge guy and see if, they can coach him up into something. And, maybe if they don't get one earlier, that this would be the spot. Question is, will their what's currently supposed to be their last pick, will that be their last pick?
Yeah, right.
They may not end up keeping all those seventh round picks. But that is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be that last one. It's just whatever the last pick is they make, what position. I'm going to go edge.
This is not a question for our game here, but if the Bengals do trade up, where do you think, where's the most likely spot that will happen? Is it in round two? Is it on day three? Is it packaging some of those late picks? Like, is there a spot on this board where you think it's just like the sweet spot where the Bengals are going to try and go get a specific guy?
It's a good question. It's not really in their DNA. Now, a couple of years ago, they did it for Cam Taylor-Britt. Usually when they trade up, it's in that fourth round. They traded up for Ryan Finley. They traded up for Michael Jordan. So I'll go there. I say if there's a guy they really like, and I think they've got a pretty big gap between their fourth round pick and their fifth, because there's no comp pick there, and there's a bunch of other comp right. picks. And so I think fourth might be the area where they'd be most likely to move up for a pick.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I do keep coming back to that CTB trade up too, that yeah. maybe something like that could make sense. You know, maybe they go from 49 into the top 40. Maybe if a guy like Johnny Newton falls, maybe that's like the one guy. If he falls into that 30 to 35 range, like could they use that second, third round pick package to move up into that range? Like maybe, but I don't know. Trading up generally is not an advisable strategy, I think, unless you're going up for a quarterback. Just in general, I think doing it in these middle rounds where you're maybe just losing like a mid round pick, I'm more open to that. If you've got guys who are really on your board high, who are really mm-hmm. falling, I'm more open to that. Trading up in like round one, I don't think that's going to happen. I wouldn't support it if it did, but I think in these middle rounds, I think I'm more amenable to that kind of approach.
It would be, I mean, you said 49 to the top 40, that I would have to look, but that might be probably be the biggest trade up in team history. Because typically when they do go up, it's not that many spots. It's three, four, five. So as soon as we wrap this up, I'm going to go look and see what the biggest leap forward they've made. I know they've traded back in the double digits, but I don't know that they've come up that far for a player.
Yep. It'll be interesting. I mean, I can't believe we're almost here, but like we said at the top, I'm thankful we're here because I want to see who the Bengals actually end up with. So that's our show for today. Like I said at the top, if you're watching this or listening to this on Wednesday, please do check out our live draft preview live on YouTube, 8 p.m. Eastern Wednesday night. Ian Cummings and I talking about the top 10, what's going to go on. I mean, this top 10, I think it could be absolutely crazy. Like, I who knows? Like, it feels like we know where some of the quarterbacks are going to go, but what are the Cardinals going to do? What are the Chargers going to do? Who's going to come out from McCarthy? Are the Vikings going to move up? There's so many questions that it feels like it could be crazier than I remember in recent memory. Honestly, this top 10 is absolutely insane. So we'll go through all that. Jay, you'll be on site with the Bengals this whole weekend covering this draft. Like, please come check out all of Jay's coverage for all of his draft picks. Jay, anything else before we sign off? I know you're looking forward to getting through this weekend and talking to all these prospects and getting the players. And then you've got your own show coming up on Monday with Paul Daner. We're going to talk to Mike Potts, the Bengals director of scouting, and go over some of the picks next week on Monday.
Yeah, we're actually going to do that Tuesday night.
Tuesday.
Potts, a live show down at the Banks in Cincinnati. The Reds aren't in town, so if people want to come down and check it out, would love to see a lot of people out there. The one thing, as soon as I said about trading up, I think they went up pretty far to get Russell Bodine, the center in 2014. So that's the first place I will look to see that. But he might be the record for how far they've traded up for a player. Other than that, maybe you talked about how crazy this draft's going to be. We probably should have had a question. How many trades will there be on Thursday? Because I think we're going to see a lot.
I think we will too. I really do. And it's, you know, I think that it comes down to like the Giants. Do the Giants want JJ McCarthy or not? Because if not, I mean, that's going to be the turning point. I think if they want to move up and get him, they probably could. But if they don't, it's wide open for Minnesota with those two first round picks. So it'll be very interesting, I think, to look how that first round plays out. Everyone, thanks again for watching. We will be back next week. We'll go over what the Bengals have done. We'll talk about every pick and how the roster looks moving forward. We're looking forward to it. So hope you enjoy this draft as well. Check us out next week on the PFN Bengals podcast.